After we had talked about Sunday about Saul, he was one of the leading persecutors at different times of the church, and in verse 1 it talked about then Saul still breathing threats and murder against the disciples of the Lord, and he's continuing that on. This is what he's done in Jerusalem. And we see now that he is going to take his threats and everything that he's been doing to the disciples. He's going to take them out where the church is now gone out beside Jerusalem outside, and begin to scatter and become broken because of the persecution. So he went to the high priest and got the authority, got some letters, so that he could bring those disciples that he's on his way to Damascus, and that he can bring them back to Jerusalem in front of the Sanhedrin and let them be tried this way. And however, though, on his way, Saul ran into a little problem. Who did Saul run into? Saul, Jesus. And he asked him a question. He says, Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me? And he asked, well, who are you, Lord? And he tells him, says, I am Jesus whom you are persecuting. If you're persecuting my children, my disciples, then you're persecuting me. And so we saw that he tells him to, Saul asked him, says, Lord, what do you want me to do? And Jesus tells him, you arise and go into the city, this is Damascus, and you will be told what you must do. And we see that Paul became blind. And so they had to lead him into Damascus, and he was there 3 days without sight, and neither ate nor drank during this period of time, these 3 days. That's where we kind of left off. Anybody had any questions or comments they want to bring up before we begin? Continuing, I should say. All right. Now we're going and start with verse 10. We'll just read this down to verse 19. And then we'll come back and talk about it. Now, there was a certain disciple at Damascus named Ananias. And to him the Lord said in a vision, Ananias. And he says, here I am, Lord. So the Lord said to him, arise and go to the street called Straight, and inquire at the house of Judas for one called Saul of Tarsus. For behold, he is praying. And in a vision he has seen a man named Ananias coming in and putting his hand on him so that he might receive his sight. Then Ananias answered, Lord, I heard from many about this man, how much harm he has done to your saints at Jerusalem. And here he has authority for the chief priests to bind all who call on your name. But the Lord said to him, go, for he is a chosen vessel of mine to bear my name before Gentiles, kings, and the children of Israel. For I will show him how many things he must suffer for my name's sake. And Ananias went his way and entered the house, and laying his hands on him, he said, Brother Saul, the Lord Jesus, who appeared to you on the road as you came, has sent me that you may receive your sight and be filled with the Holy Spirit. Immediately there fell from his eyes something like scales, and he received his sight at once, and he arose and was baptized. So when he had received food, he was strengthened. Then Saul spent some days with the disciples at Damascus. Okay, let's go back. Now we're in Damascus, and there is a disciple there, and he's called Ananias. And the Lord said to him in a vision. Now, Can you think about having the Lord speak to you in a vision? How that would feel? In this particular case, I wouldn't feel too good about it, to be honest with you. You know why? Would you want to go and see Saul? Rose?
Well, now it strikes me that he has the ability to lay his hands on Saul from his daughter's side. So he must. I think we could infer that he was in the presence of the apostles and that he had the ability, you know, he had had the apostles' hands laid on him so that he had a measure of the Holy Spirit.
It could be. There could be another reason for that, though. Huh? Yeah. Wait just a minute. We'll get down there and we'll discuss some of that option there too. But Ananias, he heard that vision. Says Ananias, and he says, "Here am I, Lord." And the Lord said to him, "Arise and go to the street called Straight and inquire of the house of Judas for one called Saul of Tarsus." Can you imagine what Ananias felt when he heard Saul of Tarsus? And says, "For behold, he is praying." Okay? Saul of Tarsus, he's telling, he is praying. And he has also, Saul of Tarsus has seen a vision. He has seen a man named Ananias. Ananias, he's seen a vision about you. Coming in and putting his hand on him so that he might receive his sight. Okay? It's the Lord talking to Ananias and says, "I want you to go see Saul of Tarsus." Because now he's already had a vision about you coming to him and you laying your hands on him and he will see. Because he's blind, remember? He's blind. And we know he said for 3 days that he's not ate or drank anything. And we see also now that he's praying and that he's seen a vision. So a lot of things is going on in these 3 days. Well, Ananias has answered him. And it would be probably something that I would probably say. I said, "Lord, I have heard from many about this man." And I imagine Saul of Tarsus does have a reputation among the disciples of what he's doing. He's got a reputation among the Jews, but I'm pretty sure that he's got one of the disciples, what he's doing, that he's the one and one of the main leaders that is persecuting the disciples. And you would think he says, "I've heard how from many about this man." Maybe some of them have already seen him in action. Some have been in Jerusalem, whatever. But he said, "I've heard about him and how much harm he has done." Now, he's caused a lot of harm and distress here on who? Your saints in Jerusalem. And this is the first time you'll see the word saints used here, describing the disciples of Christ. And he's telling me, he says, now, he has brought harm or threatenings, or a matter of fact, some of them were murdered, some of them were killed here, and some of them have been put in prison. And he's bringing harm to your saints. Your saints. And let me tell you what I know. And here he has authority. He's got these papers here from the high priest, the council in Jerusalem. He's got an authority from the chief priest to bind all who call on your name. Ananias, I'm one of those. I'm one of your saints. And he's got the authority to bind them up, to take them back to prison, and you want me to go see him? I would really like to say, I would really want to stay as far away from this guy as possible. Because he's got a bad reputation, a bad one. Because he's harming saints or disciples of Christ. But the Lord has an answer for him. He said, I have a reason for this. Okay? Here's the reason. But the Lord said to him, go, for he is a chosen vessel. Now, you hear that, what do you think about? Anybody? Nobody think about anything?
Somewhat special.
Well, a chosen vessel, though. I'm going to see what this.
The tabernacle, the temple, because there were specific things they were supposed to use set aside for special purposes.
All right. Do you have a special vessel or thing in your house that you think that this is the one I want? If I have to give away everything, this is the one I want to keep. This is the one I choose. This is the one that I want right now. This is the one I want. And I want Saul. Now, McGarvey had a little thing about this. Let's read it. McGarvey on chosen instruments or chosen vessel. He said, Jesus compares Saul to a carefully selected casket in which a jewel rich enough to be a present to a king has been deposited. Jewelers always keep costly gems and caskets of corresponding value. And so when Jesus is about to send his Saul as the fittest vessel in which to enclose it. The selection was a most surprising one to Ananias, to say the least. But subsequently, events proved it wisdom. The Lord knew what he was doing. Long afterward, Saul himself employed the same figure of speech, having doubtless caught it from the lips of Ananias, whatever it is, but he changed his materially, saying, we have this treasure in earthly vessels, that the exceeding greatness of the power, greatness of the power, may be of God and not of us. And this is what he's talking about with Saul here. He is my chosen vessel. I have chosen him to what? And he says, to bear my name Jesus, to the Gentiles, to kings, and to the children of Israel. For I will show him how many things he must suffer for my name's sake. Now, he has called great suffering on those that are of Jesus, or on Jesus' name's sake. And he says he's going to suffer himself, and he's going to suffer greatly. And we'll see that. But the Lord's telling Ananias here, I know what you hear about him. I know all this stuff about him. But let me just tell you, this is one I cherish, one right here. And I'm not talking about respect for a person, but this is the one that I have chosen to present my name to Gentiles and kings and children of Israel. I have a special purpose for him. And I know what his character is. I can judge his heart. You can't. And Ananias was looking. He said, the only thing I got to go by is what he's doing. So many people have been telling me what a harsh man he is, how cruel he is to Christians, that what he's doing out here, and you want me to go to him. And the Lord explains to him. And I believe Ananias has a change because his Ananias went his way. He did what the Lord said. Ananias went his way and entered the house. Laying his hands on him, he said, Brother Saul, the Lord Jesus who appeared to you on the road as you came. Okay? Now, he come in and he says, look, I'm laying my hands on you. You've seen a vision. that Ananias, a man named Ananias, is coming in to you to lay his hand on that you may receive your sight. And he tells him, he says, Brother Saul, core thing, you're a Jew, I'm a Jew. The Lord Jesus now, who appeared, the one that appeared to you on your way to Damascus, he has sent me. I'm the one that's in your vision. He sent me that you may receive your sight and be filled with the Holy Spirit. Immediately there fell from his eyes something like scales, and he received his sight at once, and he rose and was baptized. Now, don't know what it was. It said it appears to be scales. Doesn't mean it is, but it appears that it was scales that fell from his eyes, and immediately he received his sight. He was able to see. Now, what Rose had talked about before, here's some conflict you see here, that when he comes in, he lays his hand on him, he says, Brother Saul has sent me that you may receive your sight and be filled with the Holy Spirit. Well, did he give him the Holy Spirit also? Sight and Holy Spirit. Okay, Rose said no. We'll go on. Anything other questions? No. Doug, I thought you were going to say something. We've got two no's here.
Mm-hmm. However, Saul becomes the apostle Paul, and he had a transferring measure of the Holy Spirit. The only way to receive that is directly from the Lord.
Right. Freddie? Well, how did the other apostles get their Holy Spirit? Yeah, but who did it come from? Directly from God. And if Saul here is going to become Paul, which is going to become an apostle, how did he receive his measure? He talks about directly. From it. And you're talking about here, he tells them, if you go back in verse 12, in a vision, he has seen a man named Ananias coming in and putting his hand on him so that he might receive his sight. Doesn't say anything about receiving the Holy Spirit in that context. This is the first you hear about it. He says that, who appeared to you on the road? See, here where he's seen Jesus. You got to be an eyewitness. And he's seen Jesus. And he says, here he is, and he has sent me that you may receive your sight and be filled with the Holy Spirit. Well, you can receive your sight from him, but he's not getting his Holy Spirit from Ananias. From all indications, you can see that there's no, especially when we get a little bit later, some other things, you'll see some other points too about this, that now, when he received the Holy Spirit, if he received it right now, it can't be because he hadn't been baptized. But some quarters after that, he received the Holy Spirit. Now, when? I don't know. Doesn't say. Doesn't tell me. Doesn't reveal it to me. But Ananias is not giving him the Holy Spirit right now. Now, he may be giving him the sight by laying his hand on it. Ananias may have the power. Or it could be another direct thing too, that the Lord Jesus tell me, he said, you lay your hands on him and I'm going to give him his sight back. just for you laying your hands on it. That could be another possibility. But we do know that the Lord told him, he says, lay your hands on him and he shall receive his sight. We do know that. But now, as be perceiving the Holy Spirit, no. Not yet. Not by laying on the hands of Ananias. You understand what I'm saying? Go ahead. Mm-hmm. Well, we'll talk just a few minutes more about that, too. So after he was baptized, and he's, like I said, he'd been fasting for 3 days, and he said in verse 19, so then he received food, he was strengthened, then Saul spent some time or some days with the disciples in Damascus. Okay, so here is in Damascus, he's spending some time. How much time right now, we don't know. However, it says in verse 20, immediately he preached the Christ in the synagogues that he is the Son of God. Then all who heard were amazed and said, is this not he who destroyed those who called on his name in Jerusalem and has come here for that purpose? So that he might bring them bound to the chiefs. But Saul increased all the more in strength and confounded the Jews who dwelt in Damascus, proving that this Jesus is the Christ. All right. He's got his strength back. Now he visits some of the synagogues, he says. And immediately he goes to the synagogue. He says he preached Christ in the synagogues. That he is the Son of God. Well, those in the synagogue know who Saul is. And they kept on saying, well, is this not he who destroyed those who called on the name in Jerusalem? This is the same, is this not the same Saul? And here he's in the synagogues now preaching about Christ being the Son of God. And that was what he was accusing them of blasphemy, one of the things. And then he said, isn't his reason to be here is so that he can bind those up that are disciples that are saying that Jesus is the Son of God and he's supposed to take them back to the chief priests for trial? Then he talks about here, he confounded them. Well, how did he confound them? He confused them about it. He proved that this Jesus is the Christ. That's what they're talking about here. It says, Saul increased all the more in strength and confounded the Jews who dwelt in Damascus. How did he do that? proving that this Jesus is the Christ. They couldn't argue with him. That's the reason they were confounded about it. He was proving it. He proved it to them that this Jesus is the Son of God. And he is the Christ. See the transfer? If you see this guy that Saul like this, that is such a great persecutor of a Christian, all of a sudden turns as everything's around, what is going through your mind? Well, one thing is that he's deceiving. Ah, this is a trick. I'm trying to come in here. I'm a good guy. And I'm going to trick you thinking here that I'll get these Christians now. I'll get these people confess and say, yes, we believe that Jesus is the Christ. And I'll have them. That's one of the things on their mind. Or is he a true disciple? Has he been converted? What is he telling them? And he's telling them what he was killing people for. He's in the synagogue right now telling people about Jesus being the Son of God and that he is the Christ. He may be a true convert. Maybe there is something. Maybe there is something to what he's saying here. That, you know, we will say like, this guy has got the light. He sees the light now. Finally it dawned on, the bulb's on. And he understands. Maybe this is something that we want to look into ourselves, Freddie. Well, they're here in Damascus. They're saying the same thing. Now, I don't know if there's people there in Damascus that have scattered, that was in Jerusalem, they have seen him in action, or these are rumors or whatever, but they know the story about Saul. So they don't know whether to receive him in, that he is trying to trick us, or maybe he is a true convert, and that we are to listen to him. Yes.
He is talking about his role not only today or at that point in time as a new convert, but also at his role in the persecution of the early church and what he did and how he has changed.
If it would seem logical to me per se that if he is seeing these people so much in doubt, he would have to confess his story. And he's telling the story to them how that he was on his way to Damascus and just about there, and he saw the Lord. Paul. Doug. Apostle Paul here. Like, come on, no. Doug?
Mm-hmm. He is proving to them that Jesus is the Christ. You don't prove to someone that Jesus is the Christ through a personal testimony. You can say a lot of things in a personal testimony. Included in this would be referencing the prophecies. And, you know, no doubt he would say, this is what happened to me. And you from the scriptures that Jesus was Christ. And that's what they get upset about. You know, it's the Jews who took counsel to kill him. Mm-hmm.
I have that's absolutely true, everything like that. I'm saying it though, he is going to bring about his experience. Well, why they're going to ask himself, well, Paul, what's the change about? Why are you different? And he's going to start off with that and say, look, you know, I was on his way and I saw Jesus, and this is what happened to me. And then for 3 days, I didn't have any food or water. I fasted there. I was praying. I had a vision. And then Ananias came and did that. Now, let me tell you about Jesus. Okay? Right, and it's like the summer of sermon that Peter did and that Stephen did too, that proving that he is the Son of God and proving him the Messiah, the only way you can do that is through scriptures, the prophecies, the Old Testament thing, and that's really when they get upset. Those that have the hard hearts, now those that are open, they would maybe reason with him, said, listen to his story here. Says, all right, he's changed here. Well, maybe there is some validity to his story about what happened here. And what he's showing now, he's proving that this Jesus is the Messiah or is the Christ, the one that we're looking for, that he's talking about. This, and to be that, he had to be the Son of God. So he's been proving that to them. But it depends on their hearts. We've seen that. Every time, if they're going to be receptive, those that received it, they did the miracle thing, they received it, and they all listened to it and pay attention to it and start obeying it. Those that had a hard heart, what'd they do? They were just like Saul. I'm going to kill him. Doug? Yes, very much so. Anybody else? Yeah.
One other point that I just thought of, on one occasion, and I think it was one of the others, they tried to make Paul a god, and he made sure, not me, you know, he didn't want to credit him other than a Christian,
That's one of the good things, and some of the things we'll talk about in just a few minutes here about that too, that he gives all the glory to God. And actually we talk about about the earthen vessel there too. Well, the next part here, I'm a little short on time, so I'll go ahead and just, verse 23 says, now after many days were passed, the Jews plot to kill him. Okay. Now, you know how many days has passed?
About 3 years.
3 years? This is from 1 Corinthians, first chapter, verses 15 through 19. And I won't get through it, but we'll start it. But when it pleased God who separated me from my mother's womb, and I would suggest go back and read. Wait a minute. I got Corinthians. It's Galatians. It's Galatians, the first chapter. Don't pay no attention to that first Corinthians there. Tracy did that for me. Galatians, the first chapter. Go back and read the Galatians, the first chapter, the whole chapter. It's not that long. But when it pleased God who separated me from my mother's womb and called me through his grace to reveal his son in me that I might preach him among the Gentiles. Now this is Paul doing the speaking here, okay? I did not immediately confer with flesh and blood. Okay? I did not immediately confer with flesh and blood. That's human contact. Nor did I go up to Jerusalem to those who were apostles before me. But I went to Arabia and returned again to Damascus. Then after 3 years, I went up to Jerusalem to see Peter and remained with him 15 days. But I saw none of the other apostles except James, the Lord's brother. All right, let's see.